Greg, we're going to find out all about retail disruptors. We'll find out about hard discounters. What does it all mean to us as shoppers and consumers? The book is called Retail Disruptors, The Spectacular Rise and Impact of Discount Retailers. And we have one of the co-author joining us this morning, J.B. Steenkamp. Good morning, J.B. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. My pleasure.
Okay, let's talk about this, some of the terms. Let's, first of all, let's look at what the hard discounter. Can you explain what that means?
Yeah, these are fairly small stores with a limited assortment. Think about, say, in 10% of your average supermarket that have consistently low prices, and importantly, they have 80 to 90% of their assortment is private label. And the best known would be Aldi and Trader Joe's, but you also have ShopRite and Lidl.
And are these... They seem in the United States sort of newer. I would say within the last decade we became aware of them, but these things go back quite a number of years in other countries, right?
You're absolutely right. In other countries, they are much older. So the two strongest in the world, Aldi and Lidl, they come from Germany. Think that they were established in the 60s or so. And they were for a long time in Germany, then moved into other parts of Europe. Aldi has been in the United States actually already since the mid-70s, but for a long time they were kind of really not a major thing, and in the last few years they've really exploded. Just for one thing else is that Trader Joe's is actually owned by Aldi.
How does the quality of their products stack up against those you might find in a more traditional grocery store?
Well, when you would compare the private label of a Trader Joe's and Aldi or Lidl, for that matter, compared to the private label of a Kroger or a Giant, you know, in your area, the private label quality of the hard discounters is equal or better. It is typically better than what you would find at a mainstream retailer. They often are at the same quality. Quality as leading national brands, but for 50% lower price.
What brought you to put a book together like this to share with the public and to retailers and store owners?
Well, I like to write a book about something that is emerging as opposed to has been around forever. And with Lidl entering the United States about 1.5 years ago, you know, that has been announced before, I kind of thought now is the moment to write it, because this is becoming really big now also in the U.S.
We were talking this morning with J.B. Steenkamp about the book, The Spectacular Rise and Impact of Discount Retailers. The name of the book is Retail Disruptors. Disruptors, is this a good thing? Sometimes the disruptor is not is a bad thing in a sense. How do we look at that?
You're absolutely right. It is both good and bad. It is very good for consumers. I estimate that that due to the success of hard discounters, which in America is ever growing, the American consumer saves several tens of billions of dollars every year because they purchase at hard discounters and because other retailers are forced to reduce prices. So for the consumer, they have more choice, and actually, they save a lot of money. Now, it is not so good for essentially, say, weaker retailers, regional retailers that are financially not so strong, because we have seen a number of bankruptcies, and we are going to see more of those in the future, because they cannot compete against, on the one hand, Aldi and Lidl disrupting from below and Amazon disrupting from above. They don't have the financial strength or the management capacity to do that.
We see more and more retailers, groceries, delivering goods directly to a consumer at home. How does that impact what we're talking about today?
I would say that would be one way for, say, mainstream retailers like Kroger or Giant Eagle or so to fight the hard discounters, because the hard discounters, they operate on an extremely lean business model. So costs are really low. Home delivery, or even, you know, if you pick it up at the store, but it has already been, collected for you, it's very expensive. So hard discounters, it doesn't go with the hard discounter model. So there would be something that these other players could fight back. However, one caveat here is nobody at this moment earns money on home delivery. And so that is, nobody has figured out to do it in a way that essentially you can recoup the cost and make a good profit. So, yes, this is a way forward, but nobody has figured it out yet. It is Amazon. You could say Amazon is doing it, yes, but Amazon doesn't make a lot of money on this through Whole Foods.
I'm in the advertising business with radio. We have commercials, you know, on television. We get to see the products. As a child, I get to know what product is good for me. I like the character on the box of the cereal. I like this part of the thing. We kind of somehow attach ourselves to brands. When you go into these hard discounters, now, I do like the fact that they use the same color palette of many of the, what I would say, national brands are.
Yes.
So they kind of sort of say, this is our sort of version of that thing you like in that other store. Talk about how we have an emotional attachment to some of these things and how this is breaking that, in a sense.
Americans, when you compare that to Europeans, I'm originally from Europe, have a stronger attachment to brands in the grocery store on average than the Europeans have. However, there is a very big generational difference in America here. When you think about millennials, that is now the biggest cohort in America, and people that are younger like that, their attachment to at least grocery brands, I'm not talking about Apple here, but about grocery brands, is much less than that of, say, the baby boomers or the silent generation. So, yes, what you would see is that the brands are, essentially, they are currently strong in a segment which is declining through natural causes, which is not a good thing. But one of the main reasons for that is that brands in groceries have actually not innovated a lot already over a number of years, and your people are starting to notice that, and they see that the private labels are equally good, and then they can spend their money on perhaps purchasing the latest overpriced Apple update.
Yeah, they have their own little places that they want to be sort of branded or
yes,
be associated with some sort of name, as it were. Where is this going to settle? Where do you see, because what happens, you thought, you know, there's a time where mom and pop grocery stores, small stores, then went out of business because bigger giant places, more selection. Now you come to another place where you think, I've got two choices of beans to pick from, or maybe just that one. If I want beans, that's the beans I buy.
Yes.
Where does the pendulum swing, or how does this sort of settle itself?
A great question. I think what we're going to see is that for a lot of product categories where people don't really care so much about, they are perfectly fine. Actually, they're happy to purchase at the hard discounter, but they will still go to a mainstream supermarket for some of the specialty, some of the special things. But it is okay, I go here to the local Harris Teeter, there are 40,000 SKUs. I was looking for vinegar. It took me 10 minutes to find it because it wasn't over the aisle. And then when I looked at the vinegars, I had 100 SKUs to choose from. How many vinegars do I need? So the thing is that actually it creates a lot of shopping complexity for people if they are under time pressure. Do they really want it? And evidence suggests that a lot of people go to a hard discounter not because of the low price, but because of the great value, you know, really good price quality, and because they can quickly get in and out. I shop mostly at Trader Joe's. The main reason is I can do the shopping very fast, getting in and out, and be done with it. And I go occasionally to a big supermarket for some of the more specialty things. However, big supermarkets cannot survive on that kind of behavior.
How does the produce stack up on these places, too? Do they? You're dealing with sort of an apple or a lemon or something like that. Is it all pretty much the same then?
It is pretty much the same, but the produce assortment is a lot bigger. at mainstream supermarkets. So the hard discounters, they understand that, and they have really improved the assortment and the produce variety, but they are not there what you would find at the mainstream supermarket. But then, on the other hand, the difference in price. So if I purchase Honeycrisp apples at Whole Foods versus at Trader Joe's, we're talking about a price difference of 50%. So there is, and produce is often very highly priced in the mainstream supermarkets, and there you can save a lot of money. So again, there are positives to the mainstream supermarket, absolutely, but you can save so much money at a hard discounter, that is very attractive. And the quality is really good because they have very high turnover.
It's Retail Disruptors, The Spectacular Rise and Impact of Discount Retailers, a new book from J.B. Steenkamp. Thank you for your time this morning. If people want to find out more about this or just kind of get into the minds of those grocery owners, where's a good place to get some details on some of that?
Well, you can go to Amazon to look at my book and look at the content. And if you like it, you know, you read it. It is written for managers and actually also for consumers that are interested in this phenomenon. So it is not an academic book. It is a book written that has to be accessible for the broad public.
Sounds good. Appreciate your time this morning. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, and success with your show.